When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. It is remarkable how many articles have been written recently, in the last 5 years or so, about the downside of being a mother. There's a message being sent by the world to mothers that, well, in some cases, they're wasting their time, or they're being taken advantage of by their working husbands, or, well, maybe those kids, they shouldn't have had them in the first place. What is the true narrative that can counter the false narrative of motherhood? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to discuss the world's false narrative of motherhood, Anna Mussman. She's a stay-at-home mom of four children. She's author of the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife, and a recent column for the Lutheran Witness Online titled Changing the Narrative, Good Moms Can Be Good Wives Too. Anna, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
You say that there's an analogous problem in the family to the workaholic father. What is that?
Right. Yeah, I think when we think of the workaholic father, we think of somebody who's caught between two vocations that are good things, you know, being a father, being a worker or employee. And in modern lingo, we might say is failing to balance them. But I think a better expression is failing to properly order them. And they end up being in competition and causing problems that shouldn't be there. And we can get a similar dynamic in the home. Sometimes moms also end up in this disordered kind of competition and have trouble rightly ordering their vocations of being a wife and a mother.
What is different about modern mothering?
It's so much more isolated and unsure. I think if you drop down into most places and most times, you know, the women in the village would know what is a good mom, what is a good mom supposed to do, and there'd be a defined role, there'd be a community of examples, there'd be people working together. And modern motherhood is kind of strange in that we don't have that. There is a lot of feeling of isolation and feeling of sort of this unsure situation. What exactly do I need to do? How much do I need to do? Am I a good mom? How do I know? So it is a very confusing and lonely kind of situation for many women, and that really does lend itself to confusion about this role and how it relates to the role of being a wife.
What is the world's narrative for mothers today?
I think the world would tell us that being a mother is really kind of dangerous, because there's this idea that any sacrifice of yourself could potentially erase yourself. You are losing a little bit of the hobbies, the preferences, the activities that make you who you are. And when you begin to sacrifice yourself for others or give to others, if you did too much of that, what would be left? You wouldn't be left. And motherhood, of course, demands a lot of sacrifice and takes a lot out of us. So as we give, the world is kind of telling us, you're giving so much, there's hardly anything left. And if you gave any more, you'd lose yourself completely. So your husband is a big problem because he's human and he's in your house, he has needs, and he probably wants you to give to him to be his wife and be in a relationship with him, and you could lose yourself. You know, how dare he be there asking for more? That's terrible. And the world does tell us, I think, that men get the better deal, because even if both parents work, how many men really do 50% of all the child care and all the housework, especially once you factor in all the sort of emotional labor of being a mother, of worrying about the kids and planning this and thinking this and all of that? So it can look from that worldly perspective as if all the men are getting the better deal because they get to have a career and that life outside the home, and they get to have this family that is given to them just because they have a wife who's sacrificing and giving up. And so they really ought to be extremely grateful and not ask for anything, because here, you know, they're the people who get to have their cake and eat it too.
How does that false narrative affect mothers?
It's so tricky because I think there's so many women who they've chosen this role. They are excited to be a Christian mother and have these children and nurture them. And yet this narrative is there in the background, this idea that we're victims because we have these demands on us. You know, it's just a lot of work to be a mom. And we are victims or we're in danger of being victims. And so then as we struggle, we kind of look over and there's our husband and we have this narrative in our head, and it's so easy to start comparing our role with his role and think that it's his job to ease our burden and give us enough of a break and show us enough care so that life is easier for us, and to make that sort of a condition for our love and to begin competing against him. You know, the workaholic dad kind of puts his family and his work in competition with each other when they shouldn't be. And we can begin to put ourselves in competition with our husbands and to compete for, you know, the two big scarce resources of modern life, rest and leisure. And as people talking about the pandemic felt like nobody had enough of those, in the home, those are scarce resources. And we can begin to get into this competition, you know, who has the most of those?
You write, as a culture, we blame this disordered competition on the stress of motherhood, but it's really not about our children at all. What do you mean by that?
Right, right. Yeah, you'll hear this idea that, well, it's just so hard. Who could help it? Because it's so hard to have children that take so much out of you as a woman. You know, how could you then balance all these other things? But it's really, the root of the problem is just this idea that suffering is bad and is harmful to us and that we should be avoiding it. But that doesn't mesh very well with our real situation, because motherhood is hard. It does involve suffering.
Go into a little more detail. How is suffering a part of being a mother?
Right. Motherhood is really hard work. And I mean, most work is a form of suffering. And motherhood is, I think, particularly hard because we care so much. We're wired to care so much and to want to give our very best, to do our very best. And we want this role, this vocation to be done perfectly, you know, to be done very well, because we love our children and we have this yearning to do this for them. And as sinful human beings, we really can't. We struggle with the suffering of that. We struggle with just the plain hard work of the reality of caring for somebody else who's so incredibly needy. You know, our children need so much from us.
You say that there are two true stories that counteract the world's narrative. What are they?
Right. I think first we need to look at the cross, and we see Jesus, our Savior, who came to the world to suffer and to die, and who died on the cross for us. And we have there our identity. We don't need to protect our personhood by trying to compete to carve out time for this or that hobby, because we have our identity there in Jesus, who died for us and forgives us and tells us to take up our cross and follow him. And he's going to work through us and work through our suffering. He is the one whose promises that we can lean on and trust as we go through this life of being moms and wives. And the other true narrative I think we need to look at is in the Garden of Eden. We see the story of creation, where God makes the family. He makes husband and wife, and it's good. He calls it good. And this one flesh union, it's not about two people trying to make sure that they don't get oppressed by the other, or don't get gypped by the other. It's about two people being one flesh together in life, being partners under the leadership of the husband. And we've talked about motherhood is hard. It does involve suffering. But with the husband that God has given us, we have somebody who we can suffer with. We have a partner in this challenge.
Talk about the proper roles of father and mother in bearing each other's burdens.
I think it's so important to remember that we are one. It's not really about his stuff and my stuff and his time and my time and which of us gets the better life and is it harder to be in that board meeting or digging that trench or is it harder to be changing these diapers? Because this is all us. These are the things that we're doing together, raising these children and providing for them and living this life and having this home. So it's not about competing with each other. It's about doing this together. And when we're working together with someone who's our partner and our leader, it is part of our role to communicate our needs so that for the good of the family and the good of the couple, we can address those and make sensible plans. Of course, we should communicate our needs to our husband and ask for the help that we need and try to be clear on that. But we do that in a spirit of gratitude. He loves us. He wants to help us. We love him. We're grateful for this help. This isn't the sort of like, well, Buster, you better be doing 50%, you know, kind of a thing. It's about us rejoicing in this good gift of this vocation that God has given us.
Anna Mussman is a stay-at-home mother of four children. She is author of the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife, and a recent column for the Lutheran Witness Online titled Changing the Narrative, Good Moms Can Be Good Wives Too. You'll find a link to this column and to Anna's blog on the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Anna, thanks.
Thanks so much for having me.
When we return, we will get Pastor Matt Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and his reflections on the 175th anniversary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue cruising through 2 Corinthians with Paul's sufferings, Paul's thorn, signs of a true apostle, in the sight of God, and examine yourselves. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In John 5:39, Jesus states, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness about me." The Issues Etc. book of the month for April is The Messiah, Revealing Jesus in the Old Testament. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about The Messiah at issuesetc.org. The Messiah, Revealing Jesus in the Old Testament. The Issues Etc. book of the month.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's Fables and classic children's literature, math and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Peace Lutheran, Filer, Idaho. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Sycamore, Illinois. St. Peter Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.